From KTOO, I'm Katie Anastas with a look at local and statewide news. It can be hard to see a doctor quickly in Juneau. Until this week, there were only two urgent cares in town. So when Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium opened a new one yesterday, it was busy right away. That's according to Martin Benning with Search.
We haven't even been open the full day, and we've seen over 20 patients this morning.
Benning says the organization was eager to get this urgent care open because their other location by Twin Lakes is often full.
We opened urgent care at Mountside Urgent Care 2 years ago because our community needs assessment showed that urgent care services was underserved in Juneau, so we opened that up, and very quickly it was over capacity.
The new facility is at Search's campus in the Mendenhall Valley by Safeway. Starting in January, the campus will also offer primary care, pediatrics, behavioral health, optometry, and more. While Search is Alaska Native run, the organization has been serving all Juneau residents for a few years. The Alaska State Supreme Court ordered the Office of Public Advocacy, or OPA, to begin assigning public guardians for patients again. The order comes after the state agency told the courts in April it couldn't assign new conservators or guardians because of a staffing crisis. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra has the story.
Kurt Falke is sitting in his room in a residential hotel in Anchorage. He's reflecting on the second guardian the state assigned him. He says he appreciates the work his guardian did behind the scenes.
I was recovering from my brain damage and I was pretty much a kid. He was working with other people without me being aware of it, my counselors and all this.
Falke's had guardians on and off since the mid-1990s. That's because he was homeless and struggling with substance abuse, and later he suffered a serious head injury. He tears up when he talks about how one of his guardians, Ezra Stone, helped him change his life for the better.
Ezra Stone, he became my friend. And I started to learn how to trust somebody because I started to trust myself.
Guardians are assigned to people by the courts when they aren't able to make important decisions for themselves. That may be because of an injury, a mental disability or illness, or because of dementia. Guardians can help with or make decisions about medical care, housing, finances, or even real estate. But patients throughout Alaska have been denied new guardians over the past 7 months. That's because, since April, OPA quit taking all new assignments of guardians and conservators. They said there was a severe staffing shortage. So guardians now have 80 to 100 cases on their plate instead of the recommended 20 to 40. Falke says the guardian he works with now is great at his job and cares.
I'm with David Harper now. He's a good kid. He tried real hard.
But Falke says Harper has way too many cases on his plate to be able to help everyone.
It was about 20, and then it went up to 50, and then it went to 100, and now David's like, oh, he's swamped.
James Stinson is director at OPA. He co-signed a letter to the courts in April saying OPA's staffing crisis is partially because a number of public guardians retired or resigned. Stinson says this guardianship crisis is about more than just OPA.
It's not just that caseloads are continuing to grow, it's also that all of the things that a public guardian depends on to provide services for their wards are becoming more and more constrained and much more scarce. And the hiring pool has changed considerably.
Guardians at OPA have 2 to 3 times what Stinson says is a typical maximum caseload. And because of the state Supreme Court's order, OPA has to continue putting more cases on guardians' plates, no matter how many they have. Stinson says that means guardians won't be able to do their jobs well.
Public guardians are just people, and they're people that want to do a good job. And the staffing situation we're in is a candle burning on both ends. You can't afford to overload your most experienced guardians to the point that they just give up and quit, because that's disastrous. And you can't place a bunch of cases on somebody who's new and inexperienced, who doesn't know how to do it either.
And he's worried more guardians will get burnt out and quit, which will make the problem worse. Corinne O'Neill is Senior Director of Care Management for Providence, Alaska Medical Center. She says most people have friends or family that can make decisions for them, but not everyone has that.
They're some of the most vulnerable people in Alaska because they just don't have anybody that can step in and fill that role of a guardian.
O'Neill says that if someone can't get a guardian after medical care, they might have to stay in the hospital for longer than needed.
we can't safely discharge them to the community because we have nobody to sign maybe their paperwork to go into a long-term care facility because they can't understand those decisions and we don't have a guardian appointed.
And she says that impacts healthcare for all Alaskans.
Even when we tie up one bed or two beds or five beds for long periods of time, those are beds that are then not available to the general public to get the right care that they need at the right time.
She also says Alaskans should consider creating an advance care directive just in case of injury or illness. That can help prevent the need for a guardian. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
Congress approved an $886 billion defense bill last week and sent it to President Biden for his signature. The measure calls for more than $200 million in funding for construction projects at Alaska military installations and a pay raise for service members. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The 2024 National Defense Authorization Act calls for planning and design work on future construction projects at Alaska military installations that Senator Lisa Murkowski's office says will provide military personnel serving in Alaska with, quote, state-of-the-art facilities. The legislation also authorizes funding for military construction projects already underway in the state or about to begin. The Murkowski news release says the biggest of those line items is $107.5 million for extending a runway at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, $34 million for completing a Fort Wainwright housing project, $9.5 million for a new dormitory at Eielson Air Force Base, and $6.1 million for a precision-guided missile complex at J-Bear. The National Defense Authorization Act, or NDAA, also calls for nearly $30 billion in missile defense funding in fiscal 24, including about $11 billion for the Missile Defense Agency, which operates a base at Fort Greely. The funding will enable the agency to complete work needed to field 64 ground-based interceptor missiles, most of which will be at Greely. A Defense Department document says the agency expects to complete testing of an advanced missile defense radar system at Clear Space Force Station in the coming year. The document says the long-range discrimination radar will then be handed over to the Space Force. The NDAA also includes funding for a 5.2% pay raise for service members and other quality of life measures, like improvements to the basic needs allowance that helps offset the cost of food and other necessities for military families. The Murkowski news release says the legislation also calls for improving relationships with local Alaska Native and American Indian organizations by appointing tribal liaisons to consult and coordinate with those groups. In Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
The United States grew by 1 million square kilometers this week. That's the equivalent of nearly 60% of Alaska's landmass. The State Department enlarged the country's territory based on geography, citing international law by defining how far under the sea the continental shelf extends. The new additions are spread across 7 areas of ocean, and more than half of the claim is in the Arctic.
America is larger than it was yesterday.
Mead Treadwell is a former Alaska Lieutenant Governor and former chair of the U.S. Arctic Research Commission, who's kept his hand in international Arctic affairs. Treadwell says decades of scientific study, dozens of icebreaker missions, and detailed seafloor mapping went into making the claim.
It's not quite the Louisiana Purchase. It's not quite the Purchase of Alaska. But the new area of land and subsurface, resources under the land controlled by the United States is now 2 Californias bigger.
The State Department didn't make anyone available for an interview, but said in documents that the extended continental shelf claim was made according to the provisions of the 1982 United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea. The U.S. Senate has never ratified that treaty, but the Biden administration decided to make the claim anyway. It's a move Treadwell has long urged, as have other past chairs of the Arctic Research Commission.
Who's going to challenge us? Because nobody's got an overlapping claim. If somebody came back and said, your science is bad, I think the United States would listen, but I don't think our science is bad. I think we've had very good science.
The U.S. and other countries already claim 200 miles off their coasts as their exclusive economic zones. They exercise rights in these zones over the resources in the seabed and in the waters above. Some of the areas of the ocean the U.S. has claimed as extended continental shelf are in the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Gulf of Mexico, and the Mariana Islands. The large section north of Alaska, plus a smaller patch in the Bering Sea, total nearly the acreage of Texas.